Hi, my name is Retainer Nyamuda, and welcome to another exciting episode of In My 20s. In My 20s! So what I found very interesting about life is that people like to box you and categorize you into prisms that they can understand. But today is all about names. It's about your name, identity, and meaning. And we're going to be chatting about all of this with my very first male guest. And here he is.
Hi, I'm Masi Tonzi. I am 27. I am a PR specialist. I currently work as a group PR manager for Henley & Partners. I look after the brand globally. I am a black guy living in Cape Town. I'm gay. I love fitness. I love running. I love reading. I'm into travel, seeing the world, and just being around the people that I love.
Now, in every episode of the In My 20s podcast, there are these phenomenal mind moments or gem moments, and this is just one of them.
One thing that I can tell you, Shane, about the whole concept of coming out is that sometimes it will make you feel stupid because people around you have known.
Okay.
So you will see that it's no surprise. To an extent that I actually don't believe in coming out. I believe in just a realization that this is who I am and this is where I'm at.
The In My 20s podcast is split up into three sections. In the first section, we'll hear a little bit about Massey's career journey. In the second section, we'll be chatting about today's topic, which is all about names and identity and owning who you are. And rounding up all three sections, we'll be chatting about what it's like to be in your 20s and some advice for people who are a little bit stressed out. Let's get straight into it.
Tell us a little bit about your career journey. So starting from varsity, what you studied.
Yeah.
At 16.
Yeah.
Up until now, where you are in your career.
Cool. So I did 11 years of strict, so I didn't do 12. So I did 2 grades in 1 year. And then, so did that, and then I left school, then went to varsity, then I did financial planning, and then after that, I knew it wasn't for me, and then I moved to Cape Town. I worked in publishing at first, and then I was a marketing assistant, and getting a shit salary, and I always tell the story, and I'm always on some, I think my years of actually starting out were the toughest years ever. I could have quit.
Okay, one.
And I could have left, I didn't have a place to stay, so I had to stay with friends. And I remember, imagine you earning 4 grand, and you must pay rent, buy food, clothes to go to, because you need to
be presentable.
And transport as well, because obviously you can't afford anywhere. You can't afford to live in the city. One of the years I had to stay with my friend, we shared a room. That's how hectic it was. Okay, and then there were, other 4 people in the house too. We didn't even have a lounge. So for the longest time, I didn't want to have people over at my house, because I'd be there's no space.
Yeah.
So it would only be my close friends, and that will come in and appreciate chilling there and sitting on the
And they get it. They get what it's like to live in this season.
Also, none of us actually, we all had dreams and aspirations, but none of us were making it. First time I worked with a global brand, it was an international recruitment agency. That's when I fell in love with PR. So then I wrote to this other lady that had her own PR agency. And then I was like, yo, listen, I'm looking for experience in this sort of PR. Can't leave my job because now at least I'm up from the 4,000 rands that I was telling you about. So I can afford to pay rent, send money home. And then straight after that, I was like, okay, cool, I like this. So and then my previous job had an opening for a PR intern, unpaid internship. I don't think anyone else in South Africa has actually worked on the brands.
What brands did you work on?
I've launched 2 Bentleys in my life. I have launched a Lamborghini. I've launched about 2 Ferraris. Wow. So those are the car brands that I've worked with. I worked on 2 yachting clients. One is a very high end. It's Boating World. And then the other one was Leopard Catamarans. So they deal with catamarans. So it's 2 different types of yachts.
Wow.
I
don't even know anything you just said now.
Exactly.
I'm not even English.
And I launched an international bank vault. Our first vault that is open to just people that have money.
Wow.
And I've launched a supercar club, because you know how the wealthy are.
The wealthy are different.
Yes.
They speak different too.
And then so those are one of the things. But my core brands that I can say I've consistently worked on for 4 years was the Veuve Clicquot Masters Polo. And I can say I safely took it, and it was a very white event. And I turned it into a very accommodating, I don't want to say accommodating, but let me say diverse, actually. I made it diverse because I don't think black people should be accommodated anyway. And the moment you feel like people are accommodating, you need to walk out. You know what I'm saying? So I just made it very diverse. And then I worked on G-Star Raw. I worked on Belvedere Vodka. I worked on Glen Morangi. And I worked on Hugo Boss.
So you essentially are the quintessential, like, fancy luxury man. Like, you can talk luxury, that's what I'm saying. Like, you can, yeah. I love how you say that with a smile. I can. Next question, please, Nintendo. You know me. Even this laugh is it's a luxury. And where did you learn your laugh? It's that luxury laugh of yours. And so, Massey, where are you now in your career? Like, where are you? You spent 4 years at that place. Where are you working at the moment?
I am working with a global luxury brand, and I'm actually responsible for positioning it globally in terms of PR. And when my boss and I chat about it, we like, and she always says, you have a great gig, because no one else in South Africa has what I have.
And so, Massey, you've mentioned something very interesting earlier. You were just like, your name is not actually Massey. So what is your name for Real Reals?
It's actually a very interesting story. It's so my full name is Masim Dumise, right? And no, my parents are not singers of England doing Christ Ambassadors or any of the gospel groups. But so basically, my parents, after getting married, they couldn't have kids for... think about 10 years, right? And then, so literally after trying everything, like from traditional doctors to, you know, your more modern and Western doctors to whatever anyone told them to church, they couldn't get kids.
Okay.
But yeah, so basically, actually, I think my mom went to church and I was a miracle baby. Yeah, so after 10 years, they had me. So hence, Amma Simdumise, which means let's praise God.
The beautiful thing about African names in general is the meaning behind it. Like, my name is Retendo, which means we are thankful.
Yeah.
And it's just like, there is, you know, the story behind people's names. But so why go by Massey and not your full name?
I don't know, actually. I think I was thinking about it the last couple of days, and I was like, you know what, I need to... No, I think a few weeks back, and I was like, I need to make a decision. Like, am I going to use my full name, or am I fine with just being Massey? But I think Massey was more convenient.
Okay.
You know, like after varsity, applying for jobs and just like trying to get into the workplace, and Massey Dumise seemed a bit long, that's one. But also, secondly, actually, I really love my name, you know, so... For some people, it's very hard to spell, or like it's very hard to pronounce. So then they'll say it wrong. So they'll call me Siam Dumise, and I'm like, I'm not that. You know, they'll call me Masim Dumise, and I'm like, nope, it's Masim Dumise. You have to say it like that, the right way, or not say it. So I think also, like, I just got tired of being irritated. So like Masim kind of seemed a little simpler.
And like when you say, like, you obviously had to make it simpler and technically compromising.
Yeah.
Like, basically. I think there are some things that you can compromise on and other things that you can't compromise on. But I think one's name, like that's what you were given by your parents.
Yeah.
And it's now you having to alter it because people don't understand or can't pronounce it properly.
Yeah. No, it's not even about that, you know, because... I don't think anyone can ever take my name away from me. It's who I am, you know. Like, for example, our country, South Africa, we call it Mzansi, we call it, like, SA, we call it, I don't know, like, everything that we want to call it. It doesn't take away from the fact that it is South African. So, me being Massey is built from Massim Dumise. You know what I'm saying? So, if probably I change my name and I started calling myself C, for example, then you would say that, like...
But dude.
Yeah, because even when I say Massey, actually, you kind of, you're like, Massey what? Massey.
So my nickname is Massey Vanda, which is, you know, from our totem, Shumba, which is a lion. So it's like a lioness.
Yeah.
And so at home, everyone calls me Massey.
Can I call you Mufasa sometimes? You do?
I know, it's a connection.
Spot on, eh?
It works. So it's kind of like, for me, the first time I heard your name was Massey, as they called you, Massey. I was like, I'm Massey. I'm Massey Banda, you know? And it's I think it was Chimamanda who said, like, if you, like, growing up, when she wanted her mother to call her something different, she said if they can pronounce the Tchaikovskys and the, you know, whatever, that they will learn to pronounce your name. And the importance of that is, like, nowadays we live in an era where there are so many foreign names. We'll learn the Italian, we'll learn the Spanish, we'll learn the most exotic French name, but when it comes down to African names in its essence, it's like a push and pull.
It is, right? But at the same time, I don't think we must be completely closed off from, like, the idea of simplifying things. You know what I'm saying? Like, sometimes if it makes things simpler, you can just let it go. Point is, people were going to pronounce my name wrong regardless. You know what I'm saying? Like, in terms of the workspace, like, currently, like, in Cape Town. So whether they call me Massey or Massey Dumisi or whatever, it doesn't take away from the fact that they will still... So I can force them to say, no, so, like, use my full name. They will come back and still not say it right. And that's actually my problem. You know what I'm saying? The fact that they are not saying it right. So me saying Massey is to just make sure that everyone, you know what I'm saying, can... say my name and they can call me. But the next thing is that people also make shorter versions. You know, they'll call me Simdu. Some will call me Masim. Some will call me Dumi. And, you know, so, like, in terms of society and also just South Africa and the world that we live in, we are people like that. We give nicknames. Like, people call you Ru. You know what I'm saying? Even though your name is Rutendo, and yes, you still introduce you as Rutendo, but people don't call you Rutendo.
Yeah,
they call
that's
you Ru.
True.
So me saying Masi and you saying Rutendo doesn't mean that people use our names too.
Yeah. Coming back to names, this is very interesting. Name and identity.
Yeah.
So the way that you're saying we should simplify names, for example, do you feel people need to simplify their identity so that they can adjust to a society that will respect and receive them because of their simplified identity?
One, I think it's two different things.
Mm-hmm.
Like, a name is a component of identity, like it makes up identity, but it's not your identity, you know what I'm saying? Because, like, I identify as black, for example, like I identify as male, gay, Massey, etc. You know what I'm saying? So it's part of the list. So that's one. And so secondly, I say no, I don't think people should simplify their identity.
But so touching on identity, we can chat about it if you're comfortable chatting about it or not. You mentioned being black and being gay, which is a big part of your identity. Do you see that as the same way you see your name, as a part of who you are, or is a big part of your identity embedded in the fact that you're gay?
No, I am Masim Dumisi before I'm gay. There's nothing different about me. All it's saying is that I'm also just into guys, and that's it. So it's not really like a big thing. It's just who I date.
Okay.
You know, it's like, for me, instead, like, I think I'd be stylish even if I was straight. You know, I think I'd have the same gestures even if I speak the same way, like, throughout. And hence, I always say I'm always myself, because for me, this is who I am, and I don't think my sexuality has anything to do with it. You know, some other people may view it differently, but for me, it's not. My sexuality means I date men only.
Just for you ladies who are out there thinking if there was hope, there is absolutely no hope out there. And then how did you come out as being gay? Because I've heard multiple of my friends' stories, and it's always very, like, interesting. So how did you come out, and who did you come out to?
I've always known, right? Like, I'm one of those people, I love reading and researching. So if I don't understand how to do something, I'll Google or watch a video on YouTube or something, so that I can know how to. So I'm like that. If there's something that I don't understand, so if I'm like, for 2 or 3 nights in the row, I was sweating the whole night. Then I'll Google, what does it mean? You know what I'm saying? Does it mean I train too hard? Like, what is it saying? Yes, because you can die from heart attacks from training.
Yeah.
So you're overheating and don't even realize. So I'm one of those people, I love learning. Like, I just want to know, you know? So, and I remember, like, in Metric, which is one of the reasons why I got good grades, there was a guy that I had a crush on, and I think he was in varsity, and I was still in high school. So like every day I'd go to the library to just go and like study and mm-hmm. so that I can see him. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? And then constantly. But I didn't understand.
Okay.
So I thought for me, like, I liked his hair and I liked his swag. And because wow. you can imagine I matriculated at 16. So mm-hmm. still very young.
Yeah.
Oh, well, yeah, 15, the first semester, 16, mm-hmm. you know, to touch
yeah.
on that.
Wow.
And it happened to another guy. And then he actually told me, then he said he likes me. So I was like, so this is normal.
Okay.
Do you get it? So
he had feelings for you and came to you and said...
And I also felt...
How did you react to that, though? Because if you didn't consider
it... I was like, stop it, I like it!
Really?
Yes, I didn't...
But you didn't know... Did you know what was... Like, did you... Had you...
I've kissed boys before that.
Okay.
So, like, I kind of knew that somehow.
Okay.
But then, the worst part about... that the male species or like men generally is that they can influence what they want you to think. They'll make it seem like, oh no, man, there's nothing wrong with you. You can like girls. You know
okay.
what I'm saying? Like from, because generally I don't think they understand things.
Okay.
Like, I could get dragged. I don't, mm-hmm. but generally men, it takes a while for them to grasp certain concepts.
No. I can agree with you. 100%. I've been hinting for a long time about like something takes you forever to realize, and by the time you come around, I'm done.
And
as you
it's
were.
Not like necessarily around them or affecting them.
Mm.
Like men can never walk in other people's shoes. It wasn't anything like
mm.
growing up. Like I had, even to this day, I still have straight close friends.
Mm.
You know, so like I just grew around straight people. Even the girls would be like, "No, you're not gay."
Okay.
Da-da-da.
Did you ever date any girls?
I didn't.
Okay.
I've kissed girls though.
Okay.
But only my friends. It's the weirdest thing.
Okay.
Like, wingsman vibes.
Okay.
One thing that I can tell you, Shane, about the whole concept of coming out is that sometimes it will make you feel stupid. Because
okay.
people around you have, like, you have known.
Okay.
So you will see that it's no surprise. To an extent that I actually don't believe in coming out. I believe in just a realization that this is who I am
mm.
and this is where I'm at. So for me, I think it's all about the realization. So it's you confirming
mm-hmm.
the realization more than you coming out.
Mm.
So that's what I think. So I confirmed it. I didn't come out because it was no surprise. Like no one
okay.
was surprised.
Okay.
One of my friends was very nice about it. And then so she told me, and then she was like, I love Xhosa.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, I think. So
meaning?
Think about it.
Okay.
So she told me, and she's like, I really think you need to just be honest with yourself, you know. And she knew me from high school,
mm-hmm.
right? And then she knew the sort of person that I was in high school. And I remember when I met her, like the first time, and then we were talking, we then she asked me if I'm gay, and I said no, and then she's like, that's a bummer. Because I've always wanted, like, from we were kids, also. So
that's
like,
a bummer, I've always wanted a gay
yeah,
friend, now we can't be friends
no,
anymore.
And also,
yeah.
like, no one was woke
mm.
back then. Like,
okay,
we
everyone was still sleeping.
Yes, great, that.
Yeah.
So,
I always wanted to
So I
that.
Couldn't even be woke about it, because
okay.
right now I'd be like,
mm.
you know, but
mm.
anyways.
Okay.
And then so she saw me a couple of years later, and I was so unhappy.
Mm.
Only like now that I realize, and
yeah.
then she was like, "You are holding yourself back, you know, and you need to." So we can all see it, babes. She planted the seed, and then I took my time to think about it, and I was like, "Cause sometimes you just need someone to tell you that this is normal."
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Like that's all you need. That's actually what she brought to
mm.
the table. Like she normalized the concept. You
mm-hmm.
know what I'm saying? She made it so normal that I felt stupid.
Okay.
For living like that. Because I think I was second or third year.
Okay.
The 18 years of my life. Like, and
mm.
I think ever since.
What's very interesting is when you said that mm. everyone else knew around you.
Yeah.
You could see it. I have seen it with some of my friends
yeah.
Through different series of my life. So some in high school, more so in varsity,
yeah.
where even at varsity where things are kind of experimental.
Yeah.
So you're trying to figure yourself
yeah.
out as well as pass.
Yeah.
But I know some guys who at varsity would be gay
mm-hmm.
and then they would go home and they have a girlfriend and
yeah.
they're straight. And because you don't explore, understand
yeah.
that,
yeah.
you... Fortunately for you, like, did you never had to lead that double life in CV?
No.
Mm.
No.
So at home,
also,
how did you come out at home? Ooh.
But I didn't make it about them.
Okay.
I'm just myself.
Okay.
And so I say he.
Oh, so explain
how
you... Do you understand?
So I didn't sit anyone down to say, whatever, you know, but I don't say she when I'm referring to my partner, I say he. Do you get it? Because, like I said, when she said, we all see it, I knew about everyone can see
it. Even your family. And they were just waiting.
And exactly. And sometimes I think that's why people make it, like, it's different for everyone. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not blind to the fact that there's some families that actually make it about them. But you need to realize that it's not about anyone. You know, and I think that's also what drove me to actually become independent, like at a very young age, and like push, you know, to push my career so that if ever like any of my family members would reject me, it's nothing. I can still be a person.
For me, what's fascinating is I think because I've been discriminated against in my life, I look at anyone who's discriminated for whatever reason and immediately, even if I don't know what it's like to feel to be discriminated, and therefore I'm like, I want to have the conversation with you. I want to understand. I don't want to judge you just by looking at you going, you know, this is what it is.
And that so there's a reason to why there's black, white, left, right, and the so the words that I forgot was good or bad. Do you get it? So the moment you understand that there's bad things, bad people, it's easy to navigate, because then you can see the characteristics of bad, and then you'll always try to go back to good.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? So my thing is that the moment that I understand that there's going to be people that are homophobic, God forbid they don't like touch you physically or whatever, but when you see homophobia, it's easy for you to say that, okay, cool, I see that this is something that is wrong. If it's a situation where you can address it and deal with it, you address it. You know what I'm saying? If it's a situation where you need to walk away, you walk away, you know? But you must always remember there's always the good part.
But I hear you on that, but also there are people who think that the good place is to not be gay, and the good place is to not have refugees, and the good place is things that... So it's also your mental state of mind.
Exactly. But also, if you are, like, you will know, once again, black or white.
Yeah, but it has to be you as a person.
But...
Because there's still racists in the world. There's still very homophobic people in the world. And for them, that frame of mind is good.
It's good, yes.
So it's like, for the person who... I want to say, the normal person.
So you must... So get your state of mind to understand good or bad.
And some people will never be there. That's why
I'm trying to say.
Yeah, that's why there is homophobia.
And that's what we must also push. You know what I'm saying? Because I think sometimes we focus so much on trying to correct the negative. And it's okay. But you need to also tell the people that are victims that there is the good place for you. But in terms of racism, the stories will be about the person that was racist. Like, how much, they were sentenced for this much, this is what they said, this is da-da-da-da-da-da-da. But there's no one that's coming to black people to say, how do you go back? How do you go back to being confident around white people? How do you go back to being confident with being black? You know what I'm saying? And that's the good place that I'm talking about. That's as much as we need to address the issues, but we also need to nourish this good side. You know, so we need... A thing, if there's an article that says that there was a racist person, there needs to be a follow-up that's telling black people that this is how you must feel good. You know what I'm saying? So go to the beach if you want to. You know, don't feel like you being at the ocean is actually making it. Because at the end of the day, we are less scarred. And hence, people, it's so hard. Same for gay people, for example. Like, people will say, yada, yada, and then people will focus on the people that are homophobic. But what are you saying to gay people? How can they get back to a place that, okay, cool, you've scarred me, but how do I, you know, get back?
While you were speaking, I had a...
Brain fart.
I like to call it a mind moment or a gem moment, but whatevs. This is a brain fart. It's like, then what makes you who you are? If you don't define yourself in your world, by your name, by your sexual preferences, by your race... by your gender, by where you stay or who you are, if someone were to say, who are you? I think it's like, how do you... Because all of those aspects kind of box you into places that people can understand you, but Who are you?
Yeah. One thing that I can tell you is that when you are alive, there's drips and drips and drips and drips of who you are, so that people can understand you in those different stages.
Mm.
But I can never tell you who I am.
Mm.
Because it's not done. Like, my problems when I'm 30 are going to be different.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? My dreams, aspirations, or problems, challenges, etc. It's different, and I'll find a new definition. In primary, I knew how to sing. Like, hence I always say how I was different.
Mm-hmm.
So if you look at my primary school pictures, I was in the school choir. I was the only boy that sang soprano.
Mm.
And that sang, like, soloist. And even in the main choir, I was soprano, whatever. But that was me then.
Mm.
To now, I can't even sing and trap.
You're my trap queen, never. And I hit my banjo.
You know what I'm saying? So imagine if I define myself as that, and then
yeah.
Now I don't know how to sing, my voice breaks.
Mm.
I would have lost my identity. So
yeah.
That's why I'm saying, like, I can never say identities about this or whatever, but you get it along
the
way.
I've got the mind moment. Mm. Because you're continuously growing, you are never who you were even 2 seconds ago. You're a completely different person. And that's why even looking back at your life,
yeah.
to say 10 years ago or
yeah.
20 years ago or 5 years ago,
yeah.
you are not the same person.
Yeah, exactly. And like to even prove that, or to add to what you're saying, it's like when you are in high school,
mm.
you are into the cutest guy.
Mm.
You get to varsity, it's about what Koss is doing.
Mm-hmm.
You leave varsity, it's about what is he doing.
Mm.
And then it gets better now. Like, what position is he in? What does he
changing.
Own? What does
you're
he have?
Growing.
You know what I'm saying? Yes. Because
mm.
you're looking for different things.
Mm.
Like, friendship to you when you were in primary or high school, men sharing lunch,
mm.
men writing each other love letters. Like it meant this. And then now it means we can have a conversation. You know what I'm saying? It means
mm.
that we can go for 4 months without talking, but when
yeah.
we see each other, we can talk without any
yeah.
secrets, and you won't feel like
yeah.
there's anything. Like
yeah.
you know, so friendship means like something different.
I don't remember whose quote this is, but
yeah.
it's one of my favorite quotes. It's, we're not humans on Earth having a spiritual experience.
Yeah.
We're spiritual beings having a human
experience. Exactly.
And that is like, boom. Like, if there is a mind moment, I think that's it, because we're souls, we're spirits.
Yeah.
Going, feeling, crying, exploring, experiencing,
yeah.
walking, talking. We're living, we're humaning.
But also, I think what we forget is that we live with other souls.
Having a human experience as well.
But like, that's why men are so fucky.
Oh, why? Because they're not really human.
No, they are. Oh, but I just don't.
I don't understand
men.
So you have had a very interesting background. You've worked for incredible luxury brands. You are doing incredibly well for yourself. You've been featured in GQ. You're one of those it guys to look out for, if you know what I mean. But tell me about being 27. What has your experience of being a 20-something-year-old being, if you could summarize your experience?
It has made me realize some of the things that are important to me now, and that can be important to me in the future. That is point one. And second point is that life is not perfect. You
mm.
know, like, you can do everything to better it, and but like, something will always lack.
Mm.
You know, and I think that's why people have a crisis, whether
mm.
it's a midlife crisis or it's a quarter life, because somewhere, somehow, it's like, okay, cool. Imagine running with only your left leg, and then your right leg is left behind. You know what I'm saying? And that's when I think the crisis comes, because you're like, mm-hmm, like, it's been, I've been going for like 5 kilometers, and then
mm.
my right leg is still on the 4th kilometer, but my left is here. Imagine that.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, and that's what a crisis is.
Is it kind of like parts of your life moving forward and some staying
and
behind?
Some,
like,
yeah.
they're not growing at
yeah.
the same time?
Because there's no ways your entire life can be stagnant.
And then, did you ever experience the quarter life crisis? And if you have or had, what was that like for you?
I still do.
Mm-hmm.
It comes from ambition. Like, I don't think I'm where I should be.
Okay.
Right now. And I don't think I am. Like, yes, it was exciting for me when I became an account director at 26, and that was it. Like, I could influence the brands that I've just told you that I've worked on, like from that age. And I think with years, etc., like the more career advanced you become, the bigger the ambition.
So why do you feel, and I get the ambitious part. It's like you're saying right now about like the running with the left and the right leg.
Yeah.
Do you not feel like there are certain things that you need to learn in the season where you are before you can advance to where you want to be? Or you just want to get to where you want to be quicker?
I think there's things that I can learn, but also I think I've only learned that now.
Okay, so Massey, what advice do you have for the super ambitious person who is probably achieving more than what they think they're actually doing? Like they think they're, but also our levels are different.
Yeah.
It's just like for a time in your life where you're feeling like you're failing, but you're super ambitious, but you're doing everything and you feel like you're burning out.
Yeah.
Or you're on the brink of burning out. What should you do?
Reward yourself. Take yourself away.
Mm.
That's when you need to go to a spa. You know what I'm saying? Depending on what reward means to you, you know, because for some people, reward could be KFC.
Mm-hmm.
For some, it could be Premier. For some, it could be 12 Apostles. So in situations like that, you need to make yourself feel good.
Yeah.
So that you can actually understand. And then you're like, okay, cool. I wouldn't afford this to twice too.
Yeah.
If I wasn't if I wasn't on track. You know what I'm saying? But I feel like I am doing enough.
Mm.
But at the same time, I'm pressured because I wanted to achieve certain things at a certain time. You know what I'm saying?
Mm.
It's like wanting to be the in the Mail and Guardian or in the Forbes 30 under 30. If you get the same things after 30, it doesn't mean you did not do enough.
Mm.
Do you understand what I'm saying? But it was just the pressure of wanting to do it before you turn 30.
Yes.
So when you got them when you turn 30, you didn't mean you didn't do them enough. So that's the pressure that I have.
Okay.
It's that whole thing of saying I want to achieve it at a certain time. You can run a marathon and winning will take a minute, but you're like, I will win, but I want to break this record, so let me do it in 59 seconds. There's that thin line. So if you feel like you're not doing enough, you need to take yourself out. You know what I'm saying? You need to make yourself feel good so that you can feel like you are enough. So that means that your enough at this point was not just winning, it was breaking the record.
Wow, another mind moment, another one. Massey, thank you so, so, so much for being so authentic and honest and true. I love this. I think I have the best guests in the world on any show right now. Your enough is not just finishing the race, it's breaking the record. Guys, we have to applaud that. Like, if you didn't write that down, if that is not on your wall, then what is on your wall, if you know what I'm saying? Massey, thank you so much for coming on today's show. Thank you for your insight and your input. Thank you for being authentic and real and sharing your journey with us. I know it's not always very easy to share your journey, especially on a public platform where your opinions and your thoughts could be, especially in this day of social media, could be taken down. But you've just come out. I'm coming out. And you've been like, I want the world to know, you know, like that was where. Boom. Okay. Anyway, guys. We will see you next week for another exciting episode of In My 20s. Please, very important, don't forget to subscribe, share, pod subscribe, follow us on social media. We have really cool highlights now. It's so exciting. Like, I'm loving this journey. Like, the whole team is just like exciting. Also, we have 100 followers on Instagram. So this weekend, if you don't see us, a whole team is going somewhere for a celebration. We're going to be like, holiday, Kylie. Okay, anyway, guys, we will see you next week on your favorite show, In My 20s. In My 20s. In my 20s, how old are you? I am in my 20s. In my 20s. In my 20s. Okay, bye.